can hear it now. As I thought about a message today, I thought about life in this world. We live in a world that is filled with darkness. And unfortunately, we live in a world that seems to focus on that darkness in spite of the light that exists. And sometimes it makes us believe that the world is actually darker than what it is. And I think about the words of Jesus as he speaks this incredible message that we typically refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. And within that he says, "You are the light of the world." And every time I read that, I think, wow. I mean, I get that Jesus is the light of the world, and he makes that claim about himself as well. But to all of those listening, and to you and I as we read that, as we hear that, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." And so this morning, I want to look at a passage out of the Gospel of Mark and talk about being a useful lamp. What makes a lamp useful? Light, okay? A lamp without light kind of is, well, I suppose in some settings it might be good for decoration, but a lot of things can be good for decoration, but without the light, that's all it is. It has to be somewhere visible. It has to be plugged in or lit or whatever its source of light comes from has to be put into action. You see, I can have a collection of lamps in my basement, and I have a collection of a lot of things. I don't think I have lamps. But they really do very little good there if I'm not plugging them in, if I'm not turning them on, if I'm not letting them be seen. In Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 21, a short little passage here that I think ought to give us insight into how Jesus would want us to live, not just today, not just when we gather in a church building, but Monday morning when you really don't want to wake up. Wednesday, midday, when you're just tired and you're wishing the weekend would come a little quicker. Saturday, when your life is busy and hectic and you're beginning to think, I don't know if I'm going to get up and go to a church service and worship with others tomorrow. You see, all of those times ought to be illuminated by the lamp of God's Word to direct how we live, to direct what we end up doing. And in Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 21, Jesus says to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Of course not. Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." There are some challenging words in that short little passage of Scripture. Words that we read, and at least in my time, I read it and I think, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound fair. What is he getting at? And yet within those few short verses, I believe there are some keys for you and I to be a useful lamp in this world that we live in. As is my custom and practice in sermon outlines, we're going to use the word lamp, and that's going to be our outline, and we're going to look at these four areas that I think you need to learn to be useful in in order to be that useful lamp. And the first part of being a useful lamp is you start with being a useful life. Verse 22 that we read talks about whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. As I read that, I thought about how often we try to go through life unnoticed. At least go through life with our faith unnoticed. We don't want to stir things up. We don't want to create waves. We just want to be left alone. And Jesus says, what's in you is meant to be revealed. One of my favorite verses, and I have a whole list of them, and the list isn't even complete, but John 10:10. Jesus says, the thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and life to the full. Some translation will talk about life more abundantly. And to have this, to be this useful lamp, God's calling you to see yourself as a useful life. It's this idea that we value life because we're created in the image of God. And unfortunately, our society, our culture has a way of kind of categorizing people and putting them into this position or that position. And we think that person's useful because, well, they can contribute this. And that person's useful because they have that. And this person, not so much. There's nothing that they do that benefits me. And so we begin to think they're less useful. That's completely contrary to God and His Word. God says He has given you the breath of life. The fact that you are living today means that you are useful to God. That your life has purpose, it has meaning, and it's meant to be lived to the full. And one of the greatest messages that we can give to people, that we can shine this light of Jesus into their life, is to teach them and to model for them and to show them that they have value. And we begin by showing them they have value to us. It's one thing to tell them they have value to God. And if they believe in God, well, yeah, everybody has value to God. That's His job. But as God's children, do they have value to us? See, one of the things when I used to lead a fifth and sixth grade camp week, I would try to instill every day, multiple times every day. And I would teach my faculty, I want these children to go home knowing not only are they loved by God, but there is an adult that loves them in a healthy way. Because some of them have never experienced that. But it's not just children. There are people that you will interact with at work. There are people that you will interact with in the marketplace. There are people that you will pass by on the streets that have never felt that anyone values them. And they need to see the light of Jesus. And you become a useful lamp when you recognize that not only does your life have value, but every life created in the image of God, every person. I would say it doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, who you are, God loves you because He made you. And so as we become this useful lamp, we begin by not only being a useful life, but recognizing that all life is useful. We move on to having a useful attitude. Verse 23 in the passage we read out of Mark says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And on the surface, that verse kind of sounds, well, of course. If you have ears to hear, that's kind of why they're there. But I suspect we all know people who have ears on their head that function, but refuse to listen. I suspect that at times in our life, we've all been that person where we've had the ears on our head that function, but we have refused to listen. You see, I think it's an attitude issue. We think we know more than the person speaking. We think, at least in our mind, though we probably would never say it out loud, we know more than God. So why do we listen to Him? You see, this useful lamp requires that we have a useful attitude. As Paul writes to the Philippians, he talks to them about the things that they have experienced that they enjoy. Do you have any comfort? And of course you do. Do you have any encouragement? And of course you do. Do you have any fellowship? And of course you do. And he goes on, he says, if you have any of this, and it's written in a way that he's really saying, I know that you have it all. He says, then make my joy complete by having the same attitude in yourself as that of Christ Jesus. You see, we become a useful lamp in this world when we take on that useful attitude of Jesus that says, I am here to serve people. That passage in Philippians goes on, and that's what it really talks about. Jesus, considering equality with God, considering the very top as being something he was willing to let go of in order to come to earth and serve. And we read through the Gospels his life of service to people, culminating in the greatest act of service ever in giving of his life so that you and I can be made right with God. Without that, we are lost. And Jesus says, if you want to be the light of the world that he's called you to be, you need to check your attitude. Take on that attitude that Jesus had. I think it's a good follow-up to that useful life, because it's when we begin to value the lives of others that we begin to serve them. And it's in our serving others that we begin to show them that they have value. They begin to believe it. When they are worth our time, then I believe that their attitudes begin to change. Just talking with Basil on the way in this morning about his desire and willingness and prayers that God would use him within the prison system to speak to people. And sometimes it takes a person that has experienced what someone else is walking through to help them see that it's more than just words. And that's, I believe, why God has created the body. He describes it as knitting together and placing people within the body of Christ as he desires. And he talks about us functioning as a body as each part does its work. Really describing the idea that we have different work to do at times. But all for the same purpose, all under the direction of the same head, and that's Jesus. And so we become a useful lamp as we recognize the usefulness of life, as we recognize a useful attitude, and we take on that attitude of Jesus. But we also need to recognize a useful measure or a method of measuring. These can be some tough verses at the end of the passage that I read, verses 24 and actually 25 as well. It says, consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has, well, they will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And I've heard people look at that verse and say, well, that's not fair. Why would the person with much be given more and the person that doesn't have anything lose it? I said, well, if you don't have anything, how are you losing it? You see, the problem isn't that they don't have anything. The problem is their method of measurement is they view themselves as small. They view what God has given them as useless. Jesus tells a parable of servants that were given talents, given sums of money to be used. And one of them felt that what he was given wasn't as much as the others, and it wasn't. But instead of putting it to use, he buried it. And the master comes back and, well, is very harsh on him. And he says, you act like you were given nothing. You could have at least put it in the bank and earned interest. You could have done something with it, and you wasted it. And I believe that's the message that he's getting at here. It's not that some have been given nothing. It's in our mind, we view what we've been given as nothing. And we need to change our mind to where we have a useful measure of what God has given us. in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul talks about this. And he describes the way that we often live. Verse 12 of 2 Corinthians 10 says, "We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. For when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise." But how often do we do that? We compare ourselves with those who we believe are like us. And we tend to have a tendency in our human nature to compare ourselves to those that we believe, well, they haven't been quite as effective as we have. It's rare that we compare ourselves to those that are doing more with the same things that we have been given. We like to kind of compare ourselves in a way that makes us look good. And Paul writes, he says, that's not the standard by which you've been called to live. I've not been called to live by your standard, nor have you been called to live by my standard. We've all been called to live by the standard of Jesus. And that's what he finishes out that chapter with in verse 18. "For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends." And we become a useful lamp when we take on a useful measure. When we evaluate ourselves, not by the standards of this world, not by the standards of one another, but by the standard of Jesus, by the standard of His Word. See, as Jesus teaches and He talks about being the light of the world, what measure are you using for that light to be seen? One of the things, and I've shared this illustration before, I enjoy visiting caves and exploring. And there's just something about them for a time. Eventually, the darkness, the closeness and things kind of get and play tricks in my mind, and I say, that's enough of that. But every cave tour I have ever taken, at some point in the tour, they decide it's wise to turn off all of the lights. Whoever's leading the tour, and you talk about utter darkness. You can hold your hand here and you have no ability to see. But they do it to show not only how dark it is, but I think inadvertently they show how much value even a little light has. Back in the early days when I first was doing cave tours, they would ask if somebody had a book of matches with them. And that's a pretty rare thing to find in a group anymore. But they'd take out a little book of matches that they would have picked up at a restaurant somewhere and just strike one of those little matches. And it was like you could see the whole cavern. And that's one of the benefits, if you want to use that term, of living in a world that seems to be filled with such darkness. Is because the measure of your light isn't so much as to how much fuel is behind it or how much brilliance that you have. But the measure of your light is on letting it shine. On letting it be seen. And it's on being faithful to who God has called you to be. On being faithful to who God has made you to be. And comparing yourself to what He wants and not to what I want. Not to what someone else wants. You're not called to shine with the same light other than the same source. We're all getting our light from the same source, and that's Jesus. But in the same measure, the same way as anyone else. As a matter of fact, if your light was identical to my light, there would be this big flash at one spot, but the surrounding areas would be filled with darkness. And that brings us to the final point on being a useful lamp. To be a useful lamp, to be the light of the world, you must be in a useful place. Jesus talked about it in the Sermon on the Mount as well as the passage of Mark that we using for our main text. He says, you don't light a lamp and put it under a bowl, or as the old children's song would talk about, hide it under a bushel. No. You put it on a stand where it can be seen, where it can be useful. And sometimes I think we get so caught up in wanting to be useful that we stress out over where is the right place. And I believe in order to be a useful lamp for Jesus, being in a useful place is anywhere that you can be seen. I don't think it's all that complicated. I don't think it's a matter of just worrying and fretting and stressing over where do I need to be so that God's light can be seen in me. You see, being a useful lamp for Jesus says you're in a useful place wherever you are. If you're following Him. You see, back in the Sermon on the Mount, we looked at Jesus telling us that we are the light of the world. In chapter 5 of Matthew, verse 16, He says, "In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." He doesn't say, go to this certain spot and let people hear about Jesus. He doesn't say, go there or go here or when you're doing this or when you're doing that. He's saying, as you live life, let your light shine. Let them see Jesus. You see, that useful place is really any place that we're not hiding our light. Any place that we're willing to let it shine, to let it be seen. God's desire for every one of us is that we live out His instruction, His command to be the light of the world. Many times we look at the instructions of Jesus at the end of the book of Matthew where He says to go into all of the world and make disciples. And those that do a whole lot more studying with original language than I do says the real context of that is not sending, it's instruction on as you go, everywhere you go. It's not focused on a specific spot. It's focused on the practice of being and doing every day that you live, wherever you are. And that's how we become the light of Jesus to this world, is we recognize that wherever we are is a useful place. We may not even like where we're at. And sometimes it's in those times of life, in those situations of life that we don't like, that we're very much tempted to not be the light that we ought to be. And we're afraid. And I believe God says, you're there. You may not like it. The people around you may not like it that you're there. You may be trying to find a way out. But while you're there, for whatever length of time you're there, be the light. God has called every one of us to be a useful lamp. It's easy, relatively so, in this country to gather on a Sunday morning and worship God and to encourage one another and to sing songs of praise and to spend time in Bible reading and scriptures and all that's great. But what kind of light are your neighbors seeing on a Wednesday night? The old advertising slogan, "We'll leave the light on for you," always struck me as odd. A motel chain that wanted to advertise cheap rates, and I thought, well, if you turn the light off at night, you could even be cheaper, but that was just my mind is thinking the electric bill. But their point was that they're always visible. They're always available. And as those who represent Jesus, as those who have been called by Him to be the light of the world, it's my prayer that you would be a useful lamp. that your life would be useful to God, that your attitude would be useful because it's that of that same attitude that Jesus had, that your measure would be according to the standard of God and not of this world, and that your place would be made useful wherever you're at. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you that you are a God that has called us to yourself, not just to save us from our sin, which is incredible and more than enough, but to be useful. You've rescued us, and then you've given us work to do. You've given us purpose. You've given us a sense of value in your kingdom as you call us to be the light of the world. So, Father, today, as I pray, I ask that you would help us to examine our own life. Maybe we've questioned our own value, and you're calling us today to see the usefulness that our life has in your hands. Maybe we've lived with prejudice and favoritism and things that have devalued others, and you're calling us to repentance and to change our heart and our mind to value everyone. Father, maybe it's our attitude that stinks. We've just decided, because our culture wants to convince us that life is all about me. And perhaps today you're calling us to change our attitude to a useful attitude of service. God, maybe we're needing correction in the measure that we use. That we find those that we're better than and use them as our standard so that we can convince ourselves that we're measure up to whatever. And you're calling us to look to you as our standard. To not measure what we have or don't have according to what anyone else lives by, but according to your grace and goodness in our life. Father, maybe we've been putting off being that light of the world until we're just at the right place. Help us to realize that's today. It's wherever we're at. The useful place is anywhere that you take us, anywhere that our feet can travel. And Father, in today's world, even beyond that, anywhere that our words, that your words can go. Through social media, through all kinds of means, we can have a useful place by shining light wherever we're at. Father, today, may the light of Jesus shine brightly through us, so that when we become what you've called us to be, that he is the one that's seen. Father, may we lift up Jesus in everything so that many would be drawn to him. It's in his name that I pray. Amen.